My next guest is a man who wants to know where we used to ski. Robert Knox started the Michigan Lost Ski Areas Project. He's collecting historic information about defunct ski hills around the state, places like Mount Mancelona in Antrim County and Stone Cliff Ski Area on Mackinac Island. Knox says he found a business report from the 50s that claimed Michigan had more ski areas than any state except New York. And he says for all he knows, that might still be true.
Michigan is a fairly large population state, kind of like New York. We don't have the terrain that they do, but we do have winter. So it makes sense that people would find places to ski in Michigan if they can do that.
But what about the Rocky Mountains?
Well, there aren't that many ski areas in the Rocky Mountain states because the population tends to be low. So we have lots of skiable terrain, and we have some very big destination resorts that people come from all over the country and all over the world to ski at. But there aren't that many ski areas. I mean, if we had the mountains in Michigan that they have in Colorado, with the population that we have in Michigan and Indiana and Ohio and Illinois, then we would have lots and lots of ski areas.
On your site, you have some information about the contenders for the first ski hill in the state of Michigan, one of which is what is now called Hanson Hills, I guess, over by Grayling.
Hanson Hills opened fairly, well, the Grayling Winter Sports Park opened fairly early. It was opened on land that was donated to the state of Michigan to be used for military or recreational purposes. And this was back in the early 1900s. And in the 1920s, some people there in the Grayling area decided that they wanted to use some of it for winter recreation, for skiing, and I assume for summer recreation, for playing baseball and things like that. And so they approached the state of Michigan about using the land, and they got permission to do that. So they opened the Grayling Winter Sports Park, and they had skiing and tobogganing and cross-country skiing and sledding and ice skating and all kinds of activities, and it was a general fun place to go. And it was one of the first areas to actually become a destination because people used to come from Detroit and Chicago by snow trains. And they'd stop at Grayling and they'd get off and they would be trucked out to the area in horse-drawn wagons so that they could go skiing and enjoy the winter sports and stay at the hotels in the Grayling area.
And there is a ski hill there yet today?
Yes. It's gone through, if I recall, three changes of management, so to speak. Originally, the Grayling Winter Sports Park was operated by some kind of community consortium board of people from Grayling. Sometime in the 50s, I think it was, they wanted to make it bigger to attract more business to the community and to recapture some of the crowd from down south that was bypassing them and starting to go to the larger, newer ski areas up in the Gaylord and Traverse City and Boyne and Petoskey areas. And so they contracted with somebody to build a whole bunch of new buildings, hotels, and restaurants, and add ski lifts, and manage the area, I guess, on some kind of a shared profit basis. However, the heirs of the original property objected to this. They said that's not what it was donated to the state of Michigan for, and if it wasn't going to be used for what their grandfather or whatever his relationship was intended, they wanted it back. So the state of Michigan padlocked it, and within a year or two, the community people had set up a new board to run it as a winter sports park, and it became known as Hanson Hills, which, and it still operates as Hanson Hills, and it operates with a couple of tows and free skiing for the fourth graders, I think it is, maybe it's fifth graders, and very low-price skiing for all the school students, and it's just a little community area that used to be a big area and isn't anymore.
Now, you list three other ski hills as contenders for the claim to being the first in addition to Hanson Hills.
Well, Caber Fay, Hanson Hills opened sometime around 1929. Caber Fay opened in 1938, and they claimed to be Michigan's first ski area, and they didn't have their first lift, tow rope, until 1940. Mount Ripley claims to be the first area that opened, and they opened in 1935. And Mount Ripley and Caber Fay have been operating continuously since they opened, and they haven't changed their names. So that gives them some contention there. But I also found the Grand Beach Ski Club that was actually operated as the Hotel Golfmore. And they had a golf course, and they attracted summer visitors from Chicago back in the 1920s. And in 1922, they held their first annual ski tournament on their jumping and sliding hill, and I think the tournament was strictly jumping. But they did have a ski lift, which I assume was a rope tow. I haven't been able to find a whole lot of details about it, and I don't know whether the rope tow actually served people sliding down the hill who weren't jumping. But there wasn't, in 1922, a real big distinction between Nordic skiing and alpine skiing, particularly in the Midwest. So.
And what is the distinction?
What is the distinction? Well, these days, Nordic skiing is divided into ski jumping and what we refer to recreationally as cross-country skiing, which is mostly done on flatland or up and down smaller hills, at least in these areas. And alpine skiing is devoted to going down a hill and making turns, and is generally, these days, lift-served, because modern alpine equipment with stiff boots and bindings that lock at the heels aren't really designed for walking around.
Okay, so you're saying at this Grand Beach they may have had some sort of a lift, but it might have been pulling people up who just ski straight down the hill or ski down and off a jump.
Well, yes. Back in those days, skis were made out of wood. They were attached to your feet with straps that just strapped the toe of your boot in, normally. And they weren't really designed, both for the bindings and the skis, to make turns. And that's not saying it wasn't fun for people to shoosh straight down the hill. It was probably quite a thrill.
And I was surprised at the number of ski jumps that were around 50, 60 years ago. Right here in northwest lower Michigan, you have accounts of ski jumps, one in Mesick, one in Alberta near Frankfort, one at Sugarloaf, and quite a bit. You even, there's some reports that this was a high school sport?
Oh, yes. I was talking to somebody in Traverse City just a few weeks ago, and he was reminiscing that, yes, there was a jump right there in Traverse City. And then the schools in the area built the ski area at Sugarloaf, I guess originally as a school ski area. And, yes, they had a ski jump, and back in the 50s, ski jumping was a Michigan high school sport.
Are there any ski jumps in operation today?
Well, ski jumping is no longer a high school sport, but yes, there are quite a few ski jumps. Well, I don't know about quite a few, but there are a number of ski jumps that are operating in the Upper Peninsula. I'm not, at this point, aware of any that are operating in the Lower Peninsula, but I could be wrong, and that hasn't been a major focus. But I started collecting them because in the early days of skiing, many areas in both in Upper Michigan and throughout Lower Michigan had ski jumps. As I say, one of the first areas the Hotel Gulfmore was down on the Indiana border, but they had a ski jump, and they ran ski jumping competitions from 22 to at least 1926, attracting the top jumpers from all over the United States and sometimes from foreign countries.
And when you say the ski jumps have not been a major focus, you mean of your Michigan loss?
Of my side.
Right.
I'm concentrating on defunct downhill ski areas. And I've collected some ski areas. Many ski areas, even today, have both alpine and Nordic terrain. And so, yes, I find ski areas that have cross-country trails. In the old days, lots of ski areas, as I say, even in my part of the state, southeastern Michigan, used to have ski jumps. In fact, I skied at an area, Mount Grampian, many years ago, that had a ski jump.
And have you skied many of these shuttered hills? Do people go around and climb up them?
And that's kind of how I got into it. I read about the New England Lost Ski Areas project, which has been up on the internet since around 1989. And I had looked at them a few times, and I thought, gee, somebody ought to do that for Michigan, because I had skied at a number of ski areas that were no longer in business, and I knew of quite a number of other ski areas that I hadn't had the chance to ski at before they went out of business. So I just thought I'd start collecting them and do something like the people at NLSAP are doing. And so right now I have, I don't know, around between 105 and 110 lost ski areas. Those are not discrete. Some of them are ski areas, ski businesses that went out of business, and the ski hill was sold to somebody else who opened it under a different name. Some areas have run under many names during their years in business, and some have opened and closed and opened again. And some have opened and stayed open under the same name for many years, like Mount Holly, my home area.
All right. Well, Robert, best of luck on your project. Thanks for talking to us.
Well, thank you for calling me. And I ask all your listeners, if they know anything about skiing at areas that are no longer open, look us up on the web at millsap.wordpress.com.
You bet. And we'll put a link to that on our website.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Bye-bye.